Welcome to The Crucible, where the Southern African Institute of Mining and Metallurgy gives you a front row seat to conversations with specialists in the minerals and metals sector. SIAM has well over 100 years' experience in and commitment to protecting the professional standards of our industry. Join us now as we discuss the key issues and global initiatives to give you the relevant information needed to make informed decisions, to influence policy that directly affects our sector, and to help our industry grow in an uncertain future.
Hello and welcome to another episode of The Crucible. My name is Connie Chijara and with me today in studio I have Tokyo Ndlela and we'll be talking a bit about entrepreneurship. So before I start, Tokyo, can you give us a brief background about yourself?
Thank you, Connie, for the introduction. My legal career started within the oil and gas industry, and while in that industry we touched a bit on mining as well. And during that time, I was also doing my master's in environmental law, so it gave me a better understanding from a legal perspective with regard to what's happening in the mining landscape. From that, I then went to work at an international law firm dealing with compliance and commercial matters. Eventually, it led me to start my own law firm dealing within the mining and energy space. And my MBA has helped me in terms of growing the law firm and better managing my team. So I'm also a member of the Southern African Institute of Mining Metallurgy, African Energy Chamber, and the Environmental Law Association of South Africa. Sit on various boards within the mining space, primarily Mahlophe Metals Group, where I also sit as part of their foundation, where we come up with ways to give back to the community, especially within Northwest and Limpopo, where the mining operations are operating.
Wow, that's a very impressive bio, Tokyo. You wear a lot of hats. So can you actually tell us a bit more about your thoughts about entrepreneurship and how you ended up getting into entrepreneurship, especially in the mining sector?
So the way I ended up within the entrepreneurship space, basically by starting my own law firm, and then because I specialized within mining, it led me to deal with a lot of mining companies, understand what's happening, not just from a legal perspective, but from a business perspective, as well as from a project management perspective. Because within mining, there's a lot of moving pieces.
Yeah.
And from dealing with it as a lawyer, you deal with those various moving pieces, because sometimes, you know, when you have to advise a company from a legal perspective, you have to understand what would happen if a particular piece were to move here or sometimes there. You need to be able to have a thorough understanding of the industry as a whole.
Yeah, that sounds interesting. It sounds like there's a lot of things you need to think about if you are an entrepreneur in the mining industry. So I'd like to ask if there's any benefits that you see for young professionals getting into entrepreneurship.
Yeah, the main business benefit that I see, it's with regard to the ownership mindset that you harbor within yourself when you enter the space. That everything you do, you see it as yours. You're building this product. You're accountable for what happens with this product. You're accountable for how your customers, your clients, your patients will view that product. And because you're taking on this ownership mindset, you're seeing it as something a bit more, you're taking it more seriously, and it causes you to grow a bit faster.
That's interesting. So I know a lot of young people out there probably are intimidated by the thought of starting their own business. So I know you talk a lot about having this ownership mindset, but besides that, what are the other practical skills that young people can have, especially if they want to get into business within the mining industry?
Firstly, what I'd advise is that you first start off employed to a company for maybe 2-3 years so that you begin to understand the landscape, working in the company, working in the industry, understanding what's happening in the industry, understanding how do you manage a team, how do you build a business. Those are the kind of insights you gain by working for someone first. Because when you venture out into your own without having that prior experience, it becomes very difficult. You could destroy relationships because you could not type an email properly. Those are the kind of things you learn while you're still employed, how to write emails properly.
Yes.
Because that's communication, basically.
Is there anything else besides having had the experience of working for someone? I think what you're sort of talking about leads to maybe networking. Is there anything more you can say about networking?
Yeah. Before even talking about networking, I think, you know, once you have that background of working for someone, the next step is to have some sort of mentorship to take you further, to better understand the landscape as well, and know how to avoid certain hurdles. Because if you're doing it by yourself with no guidance, sometimes the hurdle you end up in, it's very hard to get out of it. And then, of course, what comes from mentoring or mentorship rather, it's the networking. Because sometimes you have to first network, meet different people, and then they could become your mentors in that regard. But yeah, networking goes a long way, especially depending on what sort of business model you have, whether you're going with B2B, B2C, if you're dealing with an individual, because that networking could lead to other opportunities for your business.
Yeah. And in terms of mentorship, do you have any experiences of a personal mentor that you've had that you learned a great deal from? And is there something that stood out for you during that mentorship period that you can share with the listeners?
Yeah, I remember my journey of looking for mentors. I'd go to different conferences, speak with different kinds of people, hoping that there'd be someone that there's a resonation, or he resonates with me or she resonates with me. I resonate with that person, and I can see that there's alignment in terms of what kind of guidance they could provide me with. I do have quite a few mentors, and they help me with different aspects of myself and of my business to help me take it to the next level. And even in terms of advice from other law firm owners, where, they guide me in terms of how I should structure this, how I should do that. And it's been very helpful because it helped me avoid a lot of hurdles that they had to go through when starting their law firm.
Yes, what I'm hearing is it's very important to have people that have sort of walked through the process, walked the journey.
Yeah.
And that in turn helps you when you walk your own journey. I think I can resonate with that because I've also had a lot of mentors throughout my journey as a young professional, and I can definitely see the benefit there. And I think I want to just lead this into a discussion about being part of the Young Professionals Council and how that has impacted your career as well, and maybe why you decided to be part of the council.
I can understand it's quite a strange thing. Even now, being part of the council, I'm the only lawyer within the council. It's because I understood what my niche is. It's mining, it's energy. That's what the council is primarily about. And yes. I saw that I don't only want to know the legal aspects of a mining operation. I also want to understand the technicalities of it. And I thought to myself, it's best then to join an association or a council that deals with the technicalities of running a mine. The different aspects of it, talking with different people who have different roles within a mining company, understanding their role, understanding how these two different roles, how they piece together. If I stayed just within the legal environment, I'd only understand things from a legal perspective, but not from actually being on the ground, understanding how to identify the right sorts of rocks, and what does that mean?
things
of that nature. And so it was a great opportunity to just expand my mind and, better plan for how I can better provide advice to clients going forward as well.
Yes, that makes sense. So since you've been part of the mining industry, I'm sure you have a bit of an insight of what trends are there currently. And tying it back to entrepreneurship, what sort of opportunities are there for young entrepreneurs that might want to venture into business, looking at any future trends that are coming up in the industry?
I think the one that's quite important that's being pushed forward by a lot of international organizations, by the UN, it's things centering around climate change mitigation. So
yes.
Renewable energy, green energy. If you plan to go into mining, perhaps then it's best to go into the rare earth metals, because those are the group of minerals that are used for the creation of certain renewable energy products, solar panels, the EV batteries, things of that nature. And that's where the future is heading right now.
So it sounds like, I don't know if you have any insight on this, but in terms of funding, is there something that you can share in terms of young entrepreneurs that would like to get funding for their businesses, or not really?
Yeah, there are a few funds that have been created through these international organizations, like the Green Fund. I think it's being housed by the Development Bank of Southern Africa. They're holding on to a lot of these different funds to invest in a lot of these renewable energy projects around Africa. So if you can center yourself around that sort of space, because that space is the future. Right now, we're moving into the kind of arena that's all about sustainability, all about long-term positive effects rather than the negative effects. If your mining operation has a few negative effects, then have something that balances out. You know, that's why, you know, we have the Carbon Tax Act that, you know, also introduces carbon credits that's being utilized worldwide, because that's where the industry is going right now. And you want to be where the future is going.
Exactly. That's great advice, Tokyo. So I'd like to just go back into your personal journey, Tokyo, as an entrepreneur. How do you balance it all, the work and life and all the many other hats you hold as being part of the Young Professionals Council, having your own business and having a life outside of work?
So I don't really believe in the whole work-life balance concept. I'm more for harmony. And what I mean by harmony is that I enjoy what I do. And what I do professionally also seeps into what I do personally. And it's sort of incorporated with all the other things I enjoy doing. I enjoy doing a lot of sports. I go play golf. I'll meet people while I play golf. I attend a lot of live comedy events, live music events. And because law is such a, it's a social sport. And every time I go out, I speak with people. I meet them. We exchange contacts. And then I know sometimes at the day later, sometimes 2 years later, they call me because they need some assistance.
Yes.
So it all comes back. And I think because I'm maintaining such a physical lifestyle in terms of being going to the gym, doing all kinds of sports, it helps me deal with stress. And so I don't necessarily have to balance anything because there's harmony in terms of what I'm currently doing.
Okay, that's great. If you had to look back at the young Tokyo and you had to give him one piece of advice, what would that piece of advice be?
That advice would be get out more, expose yourself to the world, to people, because I believe that's how you mature faster. That maturity is not really, doesn't really depend on age. It depends more on experience, what you have gone through. Because when you begin to meet other people or a wide range of people, you also begin to develop tolerance. You begin to be able to better engage with people because of that sort of exposure. So I'd encourage myself to just expose, put yourself out there, get to meet new people, be open for meetings and making new friends, because that's how you really grow and that's how you really learn, by putting yourself out there, not closing yourself out to the world.
Yeah, I can definitely agree with that. I think I've also seen it in my personal experience. Just taking opportunities when they come. I'm a firm believer in continuous improvement and just jumping for any opportunity, like even joining the Young Professionals Council at SAYIM. That's a great opportunity. So Tokyo, can you tell us a bit more about what you do for young professionals?
So through the law firm, we have all sorts of graduate programs that's used to help develop the youth within the legal industry primarily. So that they begin to form, rather than a job, they form a career. So what we do is that we help them to form a career by them doing the internship or doing their articles through the law firm, so that they can also begin to have something after TNA, after the law firm, so that they're not constricted to the law firm itself, because restriction comes when you view something as a job. But when you view it as a career, your horizons just open up.
So what do you mean exactly by creating a career instead of a job? Can you elaborate on that a bit more?
When you're focusing on a job, you just think about your job description. I just have to do what's required of me within this job. But when you think of it as a career, you're building yourself for the future. You're adding additional skills that aren't necessarily in your job description, because you're there to build yourself. You're there to build something that will last you throughout the years. And that's more long-term. I see a career more long-term and jobs being more short-term.
Yeah, that's the great insight. So in that sense, does that make you a mentor? Are you mentors to young professionals in the legal industry?
I see myself more as being a coach, because I'm there to train you, to get you ready, especially if you're starting some sort of program at the law firm itself. It's there to prepare you for when you become an attorney, and then you provide value not only to the law firm itself, but to the clients as well. So not necessarily a mentor, but more of a coach.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, let's talk about sustainability.
All right.
Yeah. You mentioned that sustainability is sort of the next big trend within the mining industry. Can you just tell us a bit more about what's happening in that space?
So, of course, when I speak about sustainability, we're talking about the long term. And you're speaking about technologies that are there to assist with, or this from the mining perspective, in terms of the extraction of minerals, doing it to an extent that doesn't damage the environment. So with regard to sustainability, of course, we talk about something that's more long term. And especially from the mining perspective, you want to then extract minerals that damage the environment less, because that's something that that mining is known for, damaging the environment. You know, I won't even mention fracking, but then there are methods you use that damage the environment less. And that's, sure, not to the extent that, you know, the sustainability development goals would like it, but yes, it's in the right direction. You know, that we are coming up with technologies that harm the environment less, and that's a good thing. You know, it contributes less to climate change, less to certain forms of pollution. And that's really a step in the right direction, because that's where the future is. We have to think long term. We have to think about the generations after us. And that's why I'm a big proponent of sustainability as well.
And from your experience, have you been seeing a lot of this new technology being used in the mining industry currently, or not so much?
Currently, no. And I think because, for example, in South Africa, the Carbon Tax Act only recently came into promulgation. That's pushing industries to be more sustainable in their practices and the usage of extractive methods that are still pollution heavy. Primarily, if you're looking overseas, you're looking at Europe. They've been utilizing a carbon tax system for many years. So they're already ahead of us in that regard with regard to sustainable methods of extracting minerals. South Africa will take some time for us to get there. Mm-hmm. But I have seen movements. I have seen a lot of renewable energy companies stepping up in Cape Town with regard to coming up with ways to provide carbon credits to these big companies to help them balance out the detrimental effects, or rather the negatives of their mining operations with the positives of the renewable energy operations. Yeah, so there are big South African companies that are looking into renewable energy, investing in it. I know, for example, Exxaro is a big proponent of renewable energy, so that the detrimental effects of their negative mining practices are then also balanced out by their efforts and movements within the renewable energy space.
So this just makes me wonder. I know you mentioned South Africa's sort of lagging behind in terms of adopting this new technology. Could this maybe be contributing to a lot of young people feeling fearful that the mining industry does not have longevity, for example? Do you think that that's something that people think about?
People do think about that, but I'll rest them assured that that's not the case. Mining is going to be in the game for a very long time. We always need minerals to produce certain products. A lot of minerals are used to produce iPhones. They're used to produce laptops, the common things that we use in our daily lives. And I don't see that stopping. And if those products don't stop, that means the mining operations that produce the minerals to make those products will not stop.
So that just means there's still a lot of opportunity for entrepreneurship.
There's a lot of opportunity for entrepreneurship. And something that's also important to take note of is that, you know, there's a lot of fluctuations with mineral prices, depending on what's happening within the industry, within the global landscape when it comes to the production of certain products. Sometimes platinum will go down. Sometimes chrome will go down for sometimes. Maybe it might be a year, and that affects the profitability of your operation. And that's why it's important to have your ear to the ground and be mindful of, if you decide to select a particular mineral, be wary, or rather have knowledge about what's happening, what that mineral is being used for, so that you know if this product is dying out, that's going to affect the price of your that particular mineral that you're extracting.
So Tokyo, can you tell us a bit about how marketing impacts the branding and exposure of your business?
Marketing is very important, because that's the way other companies outside of South Africa get to know about your business. Because if you're not marketing, sure, you might become known locally because of the word of mouth, but for you to be known outside of the different client circles, That's where marketing plays a very important role, and making use of social media effectively. The starting point is understanding what is your brand, what kind of clientele would you want that best suits your brand, and then that will inform you as to how you should structure your internet presence, your digital footprint, everything, because it has to be consistent in order for you to appeal to the kind of clients that you want.
So just tying it back to your business, how can you give us an example of what marketing did maybe towards the beginning of your journey, how that really propelled you in terms of exposure?
So what I used to do, and something I still do now, I have a lot of public talks. I take part in conferences where I'm part of the panel of speakers, where there are a bunch of other professionals within mining energy. We gather, we talk, we get to know each other. A lot of them are also business owners. Some of them don't have lawyers. And then that gives me a great entry point to say,
yes.
I don't even have to say, hey, I'm a lawyer. I was at the conference. So they know I'm already a lawyer. My profile was read there. It makes things much more easier. When you put yourself out there, you show that you don't have fear because you have confidence in your brand. You have confidence in the skills and the service that you'd be providing to prospective clients. And so they see that confidence, and then they decide to, most cases, they decide to take you on as the lawyer.
That's interesting, because I think this, you mentioned that it was a challenge for you in the beginning, getting your brand out there. That's one of the challenges. Is there anything else that you faced that other business owners could potentially face as challenges?
Yes, especially in the, I think it goes across all industries with regard to if you're a service provider, if you're providing a product, sometimes your clients don't need you for a certain period of time, especially with when it comes to law. Sometimes clients only come to you when there are problems, when there are wars that need to be waged. And so then you then sit while waiting for them. And that's what especially impacted me in the beginning. And that's when I saw the importance of putting myself out there, marketing, and showing that you can do more than just wage wars.
Yes.
You can help structure businesses to become more efficient. You can help even from a project management perspective. With some mining companies, I also assist them with that sort of perspective. And that's where in terms of why I joined the council in the beginning, gave me a lot of insights as to what takes place on the ground. So I don't just advise from a legal perspective, but also this is how we can better make your company more efficient. Let's maybe get rid of this yellow machine. Let's put this particular yellow machine from this particular brand because they're more effective. See, that's like the kind of knowledge you gain by being on the ground and speaking with other professionals within the industry.
So these skills such as marketing and project management, these are all just skills you learn from engaging with other people, or did you have to take additional courses, for example, to get that experience?
You talk to people, they can give you advice, but that advice only goes so far until you utilize it. You put it to practice, you make it your own. Because I believe you only make something your own when you experience it. So you take that advice and you use that advice. It doesn't just sit accumulating dust somewhere.
Yeah.
And then that's when you better put it to use.
You seem very passionate about your business. I think I'd like to just ask you, where do you see the future of your business going?
Africa, all over Africa.
Wow.
Yeah, especially the countries that are big in mining and a lot of energy projects. Fortunately, that's a lot of countries within the continent that are heavy when it comes to minerals. And so where I see the law firm going is advising those different companies, advising foreign investors who want to enter into a certain market anywhere in Africa. That's where I see the law firm going.
Well, thank you very much for joining us here today, Tokyo. I think you've shared a lot of great insights, a lot of tips that people can adapt and use. And you've given us a lot of insight about what's changing in the mining industry and what are some of the things that people can look to doing more of. So thank you very much, and I hope that people can learn lots from this podcast. Thank you very much for joining us.
Well, thank you, Connie, and I hope that the listeners do gain value from this discussion.
Thank you for listening. Please note that the facts and opinions expressed are those of the individual and do not reflect the position of SIUM or the corporate institution.
You've been listening to another production from Solid Gold Podcasts.